Allianz. Supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.
A grain of rice. It's going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on,
Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hi, folks. Happy New Year to you all out there. Podcast land, we're back here in the Irish Examiner. And it's great to have Allianz back on board as our sponsors for the National League coverage here on the Examiner podcast. League, I suppose, is what we're looking at. But we will look at overall stuff here. Anthony Daly here. They got me down the fog here to Cork, surrounded by Cork people. We delighted to have, for the first time, Mark Landers here today. We still have Ger Cunningham. What information we'll get out of him, I don't know, but we'll try him. And Michael Moynihan. And Larry, the good Tipperary man, is with us here. And obviously I'm here to keep everything neutral and above board and non-traditional big two in Munster and all that. So lads, great to see you again. Good to be going again, sure. I was thinking, how are we going to go about it? And then, look, we'll just tear into it, I think. And that's the way to look at it. I suppose I was thinking the last couple of nights what we talk about and what way we'd approach it. I think we can't ignore the club finals just over. And Mark, you just mentioned us about the new format and that kind of thing. And did we think it was a success? Was it too hard on players?
I suppose, Anthony, there's a couple of things. I suppose the big change really is the move backwards from Patrick's Day to January to complete the club finals. And I think that is a good thing. Starting off as a starting point, I suppose, bringing it, giving the guys that play in the club finals, I suppose, a break. And I know from a Fallon O'Neill's point of view, they're taking a month off now to rest and kind of recover and get back on the horse again.
But they won't have long then before they're out again, Mark.
They will be out again. And look, they'll be starting their own leagues in the start of March and stuff like that. But I think the reality is we've made, the GA has made one step to move from March to January. I think the next step now is to move from January back to December because, you know, they've played their Munster and Leinster finals in the back end of November and the start of December. I think for the sake of another fortnight, go and play your semi-finals and finals, complete it before Christmas and be done, you know, play your championship in one calendar year. That would be my side of it now. There obviously is another side where you look at soccer and you look at rugby. The likes of Munster and Leinster in rugby were out over the Christmas period. And a lot of the GF, as I said, you know, it was tough not having a Christmas. But the other professions don't have a Christmas either. But the difference is they're professional. Our lads are amateur. So I think from a GA perspective, I would be encouraging the GA to finish it in December now and get on with it and give lads the Christmas off and get into the new year.
Yeah, I don't think the plan is to bring it, shorten it up again next year, play the finals around the 5th or 6th of January, and then by the 2021 we will have a finishing date before Christmas. Is that the plan?
Yeah, it was interesting to open Boris Lee for their press thing, talking to Paddy Stapleton. He was saying they enjoyed the fact that you were rolling on almost week on week, and he was saying if you would wait another 5 or 6 weeks into March, he said they'd find that hard to handle. Now, obviously, Ballyhale would probably have their own way of doing that. But speaking to them, they seem to favour that if you came back into December, to be better, because you'd nearly be at that sweet kind of 2 weeks, and you'd get it over and done. Because even Brendan Maher, who I would say prepares as well as anyone in Ireland, was saying it was very tough, he said, mentally over Christmas, because you will never get away from the match. Even the training wasn't too bad physically, but they were thinking about it all the time. Whereas he said, he was going to say off the record, really, like, if you played it before Christmas, do you know, you'd have it all done with. And also, like, the likes of himself and McCormack, and these guys could have gone on the team holiday maybe as well. And maybe, like, for the record, they were saying it's great to be in the All-Ireland Club Final, but I'm sure after the year they put down a tip, they wouldn't mind a break either.
Yeah, I got there once, and I'd say the Clare team holiday didn't really help Kilcastle's preparations for the semi-final. So if we had our time over, we'd have liked this system and maybe go away somewhere for 10 days now.
Yeah.
Do you tell what you think, Joe?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think they've made the efforts to bring it down to December. Ideally, if you can finish it off in the calendar year, to be ideal, like, you know, I think to it. But it's an improvement. I think any of the players that you'd be speaking to, if they were to carry on and waiting until Patrick's Day, you know, they have a break or two after that because it's so intense to the preparation, the planning up to Patrick's Day, and then you're into April before you're back playing with your county again. So I think anything they can do to bring that forward, even to, I suppose, to the calendar year would be ideal.
in fairness, I remember after the Kilkenny County final, Henry Shefflin said last year they won it on a Sunday, and on Wednesday TJ and the lads were all back in with Kilkenny. So, like, I mean, that's fairly inhuman now, in fairness. No, even though they're well used to winning All-Irelands, you'd give them a few weeks, you say, at least.
Yeah, it is. And on that, I suppose, like, you'd have to look at the overall structure as well, that, like, there's no way, and it's been a bugbear of mine for years, and plenty of Galway lads fight with me over, but they getting a straight passage after winning Galway into an All-Ireland semi-final is fair hard going when you look at, you know, the team that might be in Munster that have to win a quarter-final. And then win a semi-final and maybe take on a Ballygunner or a Borisoghlé or whoever is out on a particular year. We know it changes for so often, and they're only at the same stage. I think we have to look at, like, if the Galway teams are in Leinster, they'd possibly, their champions should go into Leinster as well, and they're the slowest to finish their championship as well because they have that time, of course.
But in fairness, Dale, I said the Ulster teams in the past, where people might have thought of, you know, they'd get, that's the draw that you'd have looked for. It's not as easy as before. In fairness, Loch Neil put up a magnificent performance against Ballyhale. So, you know, getting the Ulster team maybe isn't as easy lucrative as before, as it before, yeah, where you've got the handy, the good draw, you know?
I don't particularly have a problem with the Ulster team because you win, like, look at Loch Neil, they win Derry, they have to beat the Down champions and the Antrim champions, most likely. And, you know, we've all seen how good the Antrim champions certainly can be in it, have annexed a few titles and always are very difficult to beat. So I really have a problem with where they're coming from, but I just think, you know, the Galway guys are getting too much of an easy pass. It's no coincidence they have the most titles, I think, as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you. And I suppose if you go back 10 or 15 years ago on the inter-county side, that was the exact same scenario where it happened, and the inter-county teams came into Leinster, and that kind of has sorted itself out. Like, you know,
we get all the Galway comments. Mark, you had a good point on the finals over the weekend. We had a great weekend to hurling if you could make it a weekend.
Correct. And I think, you know, the situation was that you had a junior and the intermediate on a Saturday, and if you wanted to stay for the triple header, I suppose is what I would call it, you had to stay overnight and wait for the hurling game the following day. Now, I think if you're a hurling man, or if you're a football person for that, or woman, man or woman, it doesn't make any difference, I think the GAA should take a serious look at having the junior, the intermediate and the senior final on the one day in Croke Park, or Tullos, it doesn't make any difference because both sides, but I think any club fella would want to play in Croke Park. There probably is only a small limited amount of players within the club will get a chance to play in Croke Park. So, but I would then have the football, the junior, the intermediate and the senior football on another day. I spoke to an awful lot of people who were up there on Saturday night. They would have loved to have stayed overnight, but they felt with their own club being involved themselves, they were going to be going back down the road with the lads. Now, on this occasion, the two Kilkenny teams won and the two Cork teams lost, but it didn't matter. Their own, they felt they had to go back down the field or down the road, but they would have loved to have stayed on to see the senior final. And I watched the two matches on the internet, and to the standard I was looking at, there was a huge gulf in standard between the junior and the intermediate on the night. And I think, obviously, then if you had your senior game afterwards, you'd see another gulf as well. And I think that's great from a neutral point of view and a hurling man's point of view to say, these are the gulfs. And if you're in charge of the juniors or in charge of the intermediate, you say, look, lads, this is what we have to do now to get up to the next level. And I think the community can see it, the effort that's going in. And, like, all teams, wherever they're at, they want to push up and get better and get better. But the big story for me, Anthony, would be, I think the GAA should consider playing the three finals on the one day, hurling, and three football on the other day.
Or even one weekend where at least one day for hurling.
Day for hurling. And do the opposite then the following year. You know, play your football on a Saturday, play your hurling on the Sunday.
Yeah, I think good suggestion. I think we'll touch on it. Obviously, we're going to change all structures here now this morning. But, you know, we also have a problem. I remember last year being on live for the Munster final and Leinster final, and while we were watching the Munster final from the Gaelic grounds in Turlough or in Croke Park, the Joe McDonagh was taking place behind the window. And, you know, I think there's a big push to give the Joe McDonagh a proper setting. Yeah. And that is the proper setting before a provincial final.
Yeah.
But we have to be able to show, and I think the big elephant in the room is neither provincial council are willing to move to the Sunday. And I think if it was an alternate year, I don't think it would affect, you know,
correct,
Saturday evening now for any of us. All the grounds, better roads. Hopefully, if the Green Party don't get their way, we'll have the road between Limerick and Cork getting the go-ahead for a fella coming from West Clare. I tell you, it'll be a huge advantage. I don't really want to go to Tuam these mornings, but I wouldn't mind going to Cork. But I just think that's a no-brainer as well, like, to give the Joe McDonagh its proper place.
And as well as that, I suppose with the fact that the matches are being streamed live and stuff like that now, Like, you can still only fit in 45,000 people into Tullis and 80,000. There's probably 500,000 or 600,000 people that are actually watching the matches live, be it on the internet, being abroad, and I'm just following the stream of information that's coming through, watching the matches on Saturday night live and through the internet. You have people from Australia, UK, you know, putting up their information there, saying I'm watching in from such and such a place. And it, like, definitely the Joe McDonagh needs to be shown live, and people that follow that county, they need to be able to see it, I suppose, if they're living abroad and stuff like that. But it doesn't need to be another big game on clashing against it. So the Saturday and Sunday scenario, the GAA have got to seriously look at that. And alternatively, as you said, switch it back the following year then.
Yeah, I think if they ever got a signal of how important the Joe McDonagh is, they got it this year. I mean, Leash to win it and then come out and beat one of the three Dublin that came out of Leinster. So, I mean, it is a serious format. It's a serious competition. It's a serious stepping stone. I think we just have to recognise that. And hopefully something will be done to accommodate that. Just looking back at the weekend, Michael, further evidence that Kilkenny are on the way back?
Well,
or are back?
If Shane Walsh is anything to go by, I think the whole of Ireland will be hoping they don't win the All-Ireland, because he'll keep us there till 6 o'clock if he gets on the panel. Yeah, look, and I suppose what's admirable, in fairness, about particularly about the Conaghy and the Tullaroan games, and the Tullaroan game in particular, is that, like, they just fought and fought to the end. And, you know, it's a cliche at this stage. You expect it from a Kilkenny team, whatever the hurling or the physical conditioning or whoever the superstar is, but the attitude is just so right all the time. And even Ballyhale on the Sunday was more of the same. It was really in the melting pot when TJ stepped up in the end. And, like, that, I suppose, look, I'm conscious there's a man involved in an inter-county team here, like, but if it was that easy that you could just get fellas to have that attitude, do you know, every team would be at it. But, like, it is obviously filtered down, you know, from the inter-county scene. It's no accident that the two Walshes, for instance, I suppose, are driving that with Tullaroan. And that attitude, they just, like, just keep going and fighting your back till the very end, which you would hope every team does, yeah, at every level, but they must be one of the only counties, and then the club scene, where it actually is there in front of you all the time. They'll just keep going till the although, like, you'd have to say your heart would go to Father O'Neill's, because, like, what did they do wrong? Do you know what I mean? Like a winner at the last puck of the game, you'd always say, well, you know, could have gone either way, in all fairness.
Yeah, Mark mentioned standards there, and, like, gee, Mac, the Tullaroan Father O'Neill's game to watch had it all, hadn't it? I know, maybe now, if you saw the senior game straight after, you'd say there's more little skills and maybe defensive play that was a little bit better, but to watch it was a fabulous.
The second half was super hurling. It was a great contest, like, you know what I mean? And you'd see, there's no doubt that, like, the guys, that Patrick Walsh and the Tommy Walsh, the little touches that make the difference, like, you know, was fantastic. But talking about attitude there, Michael mentioned, I just say, look at the Shamrocks. They didn't win their own club championship below Kilkenny. You know, most other counties, the teams that don't win it, they don't care. Their attitude is actually quite poor, especially in Cork. If you don't win the county championship, teams don't really, really give a care. Whereas Conaghy Shamrocks have said it, look, you know, they're going out to win the All-Ireland. Like, and it just goes to show, if it's about attitude, you know, that showed it for me, really. Like,
yeah, and I wouldn't question the Kilkenny. I think Michael is well taught. Whatever is going on at the top is filtering down. Have we a little anomaly there where we're on about streamlining things, do you know? And one of the things is some championships are run completely different than others, and it's like, I would consider Kilkenny Premier Intermediate, what Tullaroan came out of, that's probably as good, if not better, than a lot of this bottom half of the Clare Senior Championship, if you know what I mean. So you really have a side that would never be intermediate in Clare coming out, and does that help them to win these All-Irelands?
It probably does, because they're so hard to beat when they get to that stage of the competition. But you're changing structures all over the place today. It's very difficult because they don't have anything else. You know, their hurling is just it's the religion. You know, everything up there, and you know, they're so hard to beat. Like, I know a few guys who had a few quid on the Kilkenny winning the three of them, because you know they're hard to beat in finals.
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah,
you know, what,
I suppose, yeah, the only thing I suppose, Anthony, is just looking at that. You know, there are 12 senior teams in Kilkenny, and you know, the county intermediate champions are really the 13th representative from that county. Now, I suppose you look at our scenario in Cork at the moment, where we've just changed our whole structure to 5-12s, and our second 12 is still a senior team. So we're actually, our intermediate champions are your 25th team in the county, and I would see that as being a huge anomaly from a Cork perspective, that, you know, if Cork were able to provide the 13th team, and I think this is the same now in football as well. You know, but from a Kerry point of view, their small numbers in the senior and intermediate, their junior champions are always magnificent. So I'm only just looking from a Cork perspective here. That
just a quickie on that, Mark. Yeah. Could the winners of the, is it Senior B now in Cork this year?
So
Father O'Neill's go Senior B, is that it?
Yes, we're sort of
called
Senior
B. Could they still win the championship?
They could win the Senior B championship, but they won't be allowed to compete in the intermediate Munster campaign and All Ireland campaign.
But they can't win the Cork County Championship.
No, they can't.
There's no backdoor in there.
No.
Interesting.
No.
Two separate competitions.
There's promotion and relegation now, but I suppose in terms of representing the county going out into a Munster campaign, there is, you talk about your 23rd team, and the junior is down as far as your 61st team, because you have two grades of senior, you have three grades of intermediate, and a 5-12, so it's your 61st team, whereas in all other counties, it's probably your 25th team is competing in the junior championship.
Cork is a fair exception to most things.
We just have to rename. I think we just need to rename the grades and get those teams into those. But like from a club championship, it was a hugely successful club championship. That's the big thing, I suppose. Yep. And speaking to both, we say Russell Rovers mentors and Farronim, they loved their day in Croke Park, and they were treated extremely well in Croke Park. No complaints. Result obviously didn't go their way, but delighted with the attitude of GA and Croke Park.
Yeah, we'll leave it there, and with just less on club stuff. I met Jackie Tyrrell on Saturday. He's busily preparing at the moment for the Kilkenny Football Championship, which will be on the end of March.
I like Wayne being handed the microphone. I actually remember doing a league match in Kilkenny, hurling league match, and I parted up in the Loughlin Gales. And their county footballers, under 21 footballers, were playing the Leinster Championship on the back pitch in O'Loughlin's. I'm sure there was a lesson there somewhere, but I couldn't puzzle it up.
I'm sure. Fairness to DJ Carey, I think he was in charge of one of the minor football teams. He got a big boost now from being involved with the minor footballers to be a senior selector this year.
Small promotion. I think Tomás O'Shea tells a great one. One said Paddy never took the league too serious when he was in charge of Kerry, got a good team, and they divided up Division 2 into kind of Division 3 North and South, and Kerry were lobbed in with Kilkenny on it. Paddy had, they'd been relegated, and I think they played Kilkenny up in Ballyragget in front of about 150 people, and he was doing the warm up with Morris Fitz, came over to him during the warm up anyway, and so what are we doing here, like? And Tomás just pointed out at Paddy and said, him, just care about the league. So that's not that long ago either, let's face it. So it goes to show. And moving on to league structures, we've a change in league structures, lads, and we're kicking off this weekend. Whether it's mouth-watering or not, we could decide. I suppose it is our second competition. I'm just wondering, lads, we've changed it up. I think we felt it did need a shake-up of some sort anyway, because I feel under the old system, we had six teams in Division 1 just avoiding relegation, and when that was done, really didn't care too much about quarterfinals and semifinals. And you look at, I think three of the last four winners have come from 1B, so they've had the easier games. Like that Division 1A in the old format was very much cutthroat, and now we've kind of deflated it a bit, and well, it's still, you look at the four Munster teams and Galway and Westmeath is a fair group. Mm. The other side, Carlow, Dublin, Clare, Laois, Wexford, Kilkenny. And obviously we'll have three teams going to the playoffs. One going straight to the semi-final, next two to quarters. And then the bottom team in each group will go to a relegation playoff. Do we like it, Marco? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a very fair format, Dale, to be honest with it. I think the top team in each division get the bonus of being automatically into a semi-final, which is the important thing. There may be a dead rubber game along the way if you're going to be finishing maybe in fourth or fifth position and just knowing that you won't be in the bottom of either group. But I suppose there's a lot of the counties are treating the league more, I don't know, do the, and Jor might be better equipped to answer this question, being involved with the senior team, whether they actually want to get to the league final. I always feel you should be trying to win most of your games if you can. I think if you have a young team, getting involved in the league semi-final and final is always a good experience, because the more often you talk guys into the mire, fellas will always stage fright, got to an All Ireland semi-final or final and didn't perform. So I think, you know, if you get to the semi-final or the final of the National League, you should be trying to win it. And I think, you know, winning breeds success as well. There's nothing like seeing players with a smile on their face, Anthony. You know, when they go back to their own families and clubs and stuff like that, if they win a National League medal, it's a very, very important medal to them. And I wouldn't take that away. So I think in the overall context of things, yeah, it there was more kind of meaningless games, and it was quite obvious the teams that didn't want to win the league, I think, heretofore. Whereas now, if you end up in the top, you're getting the benefit of going straight to the semi-final, and then there's a knockout game for the second and third team. So I think it's a good format.
I know you haven't faced into it yet, Ger, but you would know the old system very well from your time in Dublin. Yeah. And you know, being there before you, there was huge emphasis on not being relegated. And I was relegated once, and we got in the relegation final another time, and the sense of relief, and we won that relegation final. But you're facing into this new campaign now with Cork. What do you feel? Do you prefer this, or did you prefer the other one?
Well, it's a bit. I suppose it's new, and I suppose we're only getting into it for starting on Sunday. I think the old one, Dalo, with the change of championship into the round robin, I think having two campaigns where it is round robin, you're playing five or six league matches, cutthroat in the league, and then, you know, going straight into a Munster championship and the same thing happening again. I think it needed to be changed because you do need to, you know, to have a look at players, give players a chance to put their hand up for selection, the guys who are training. So I think it's probably a fairer system, because the other way was incredibly tight. Like, you know, there were some great matches, you know, there were brilliant games. But I think that was okay when we had the old format in the championship, whereas now, you know, it's like two seasons where you have six, seven, eight league matches coming up. If you get to the final, then you're starting off the same situation again where you have four round robin matches again. So I think from the point of view of the longer term picture, I think it's fairly fair. The only question you'll have about it maybe is that it looks kind of lopsided on both sides. You've kind of a Munster and a Leinster campaign. Now you've 12 teams, you've 7 from Leinster, so it's always going to be some bit lopsided. But maybe if they tweaked it, that 3 of Munster were, you know, 3, and maybe it's kind of split it a bit better. I think we'll be better off. You
know? You've Cork, Tip, Waterford, Limerick, all you're missing is Clare there for the big five in Munster. And, you know, you could definitely have one of those gone across the other side.
I think would have made it a bit better, like, from that point of view, midfield.
Yeah. I know they based it on last year's results.
Yeah,
started down along.
Yeah,
but Michael, since that round robin has come in Munster and Leinster, obviously we had a massive year the first year. Munster dipped a little bit last year. Leinster actually gave us more of the thrills and spills last year. I've no doubt that Munster will bounce back again. Such as like Tip not qualifying 2 years ago, Clare not qualifying, Waterford will be anxious not to make a 3 in a row. So did we need to go down this route in terms of the league, in terms of diluting it a little bit? Is it undervalued and diluted? Mark's point is very well made now. I have no league medal. I'd love to have a league medal.
Yeah, and you'd say maybe in Mark's time, Cork kick-started with the 98 league final, and then it's the last one Cork won. But like, the ultimate question is, like, what is the league for? Ultimately, what is it for? Because some management teams are probably using it to bring through under-20s and 21s, and if we don't get relegated, that's fine. And let's be honest, the big guns are not going to be relegated, so they can experiment. Other counties then are very keen to win something, to get to the sharp end, to have competitive matches. But like, I would always loop back to that. What is the league actually for? Because if it is a competition in and of its own, it wouldn't be tinkered with so much. It would be a lot firmer in its belief, or in your belief in it, right? But like, every year there's a different twist to it, there's a different spin to it. There's no relegation, there is relegation. We're going to have kind of north and south, or, you know, whatever you're having yourself. And I just think, I mean, I remember being in a meeting in Croke Park and asking that question, and there was no one on the Croke Park side of the table able to answer. I said, like, what is the league actually for? It was created in the 30s when you could win an All-Ireland hurling final after 3 matches. So it was created at a time when there was very little inter-county action. So I'm just wondering, like, what is its purpose now when there are so many games, and when a lot of the players that you're going to be using, the likes of Cork, with 14 fellas in UCC, who can end up playing 3 matches in 6 days. So, like, I'm not trying to abolish the league, but I actually think people need to knuckle down and kind of put on the table, like, this is what I think the league is for. And you create a league format, or a format to suit what teams or what the GA is trying to get out of it.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, Michael, and you're right in mentioning in 98, it was a huge thing for that that team at that time, because they were after coming off of under-21 All-Irelands as well, and it was actually a stepping stone into the senior arena. And I remember playing Waterford actually in the league final. It was a sellout crowd, and it was as massive for Waterford then as it was for Cork then. And it was a huge, I suppose, great for morale. I mean, we knocked a couple of great days out of it now as well, I would say. Like, you know, that probably wouldn't be the same scenario now. But certainly you hit the nail on the head. It depends on which county you're in and what's your agenda ultimately. But I look back then at Kilkenny and how they focus on the league for two decades, I suppose. They said, what's the point in getting beaten? You know, go away and try and win your league. Now, I would say this, that when they looked at their championship afterwards, they nearly had a clear run automatically to the All-Ireland semi-final. That has changed significantly now because the standard of Hurler has probably come back a little bit. Galway are in there. You know, Wexford have come back to the table now and they're a serious force as well. So, you know, I suppose when Brian Cody was looking at his scenario, he was saying, look, listen, we need to keep these lads ticking over, give them a lot of experience. Plus, we'll be able to paddle away through Leinster and get to the All-Ireland semi-final. And like during that period of time in Munster, there was four or five teams were cutting the backs off each other because they were trying to get to the top table, and that was where the standard was. And they were shattered by the time they got to an All-Ireland semi-final and final.
Like, there's an obvious benefit because I would say Tipperary, when they finally got on top of Kilkenny, there was a couple of those big league matches in Nolan Park and league finals that were very big. John Coyley is always saying when they won the All-Ireland, there was a league match up in Galway, which swung. So if you can use it, that's fine. But to me, that doesn't answer the question that the GA has never really answered. Like, what is the purpose of it? Like, what are you trying to achieve? Is it just to give, as originally thought, to give more inter-county matches? Because I think we could all argue too that maybe there could be a few too many inter-county matches and maybe a more compressed league. And by the way, like this, I'll leave it at this, it's not a league. I mean, you can't have a league with a final. There's no final in a league. That's not what a league is for. That's me finished ranting, no, about the league in all its forms.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, at a lot of the lads in football are kind of talking about maybe, you know, changing the championship completely and making that they're saying they're getting more mileage out of the league and counties are enjoying it more and lads are hitting off during the championship to the States and everything. Yeah, you know, and I think they're saying that it's more realistic than just the two or three, four counties maybe that can win in All-Ireland.
Because the standard is you're playing against teams and it's real, like Division 4 in football, I would say they probably all think they have a reasonable chance of getting out of it. Whereas, you know, that's not the same in hurling. Like, that's part of it too, that like what you can get out of league in football, but getting into the weeds on it is very different to what you can do in hurling with it. Like I would say the only teams getting any out of the league now in hurling are the quote unquote lesser teams in Division 1 to try and bring up standards there.
Yeah, I remember, it isn't today or yesterday now, but we actually topped the league in 1A or whatever it was at the time in 95. And it was the only time I ever saw Jarlock Nan really being gutted after losing a league game of any sort was the league final that year, because we hadn't made any sort of a break. Right? It looked like another flop. But it definitely helped us. Like, we were
silverware and
we didn't win it, but we were high octane.
That's what you were looking for.
Got to Thurles. And by the time we got back to that Munster final, there was nearly a feeling as, are we going to choke again here? Or are we going to make a stand? And it stood to us after that. He used to be chopping and changing good old for league semi-finals. Our training on the Friday night before a league semi-final would be the hardest session of the week. You know, I would very much say he targeted certain games.
Yeah.
You know, he looked at, okay, Cork in Parky Heave, Parky Ring. We'd have a go at that, and you knew by him that the build up to that was going to be different, and he wanted to make a point, test ourselves. But as regards winning it, once we'd won in Ireland, I'm not so sure he was off for that.
I'd say there's probably still the same kind of situations that, you know, that's not too unlike what's going to happen, I think, over the next couple of leagues, where certain teams will target certain matches to, you know, say to try things out to build confidence. There's always Mark says, like, you know, when you go into play competition, you don't want to get into a bad run and start losing confidence in that kind of scenario, and, you know, people question what you're doing. And so, like, you do go out every match to try and win it, but as you say, certain matches, certain managers will target different matches just to test the waters to see where they are. Throw in the one or two guys maybe that you're looking at in those particular games to see how they perform. Can they add to your squad, add to the team when, you know, for the bigger matches later on in the year?
Like, I suppose, Anthony, if you look at Liam Cahill this year now and you look at Shane O'Neill, new managers in Waterford and
Brian Owen.
I said as much. I think they'll be taking the league fairly serious. They will feel themselves that they've got to put their stamp, get the number one, get the players behind them, and they're obviously all training for the last couple of months and stuff for that. But the next step is to get the supporter behind you, because ultimately the players want the supporters to come out and be in their corner, because for down the road in Championship they want to have a full house. And there's nothing like, you know, winning a couple of league matches at the start for the new managers and get the confidence up and get the crowd behind them. So I think I would be, if we were asking me the question in a month's time and taking those three particular counties into account, I think they'll be looking at it, that they'll be looking at getting a run. Like,
my biggest problem is, like, for, can I, you know, tongue in cheek a little bit saying this, like, Westmeath have a bit of a nightmare of a draw, let's say, you know, with the big guns that are in there with them. And I just think there's no real threat of relegation for the top nine. Like, even if they got caught in one of their games, say Westmeath take a scalp in that group and the other team don't take any other scalps, just say someone goes bad and Westmeath take a scalp, they'll still have a playoff with the bottom team in the other group. And I think that's something that's missing. And my own preference for the league would be teams of seven. Do you know? So you'd have guaranteed six good league games, one up, one down. So you take, like, we have 12 teams there. So you take second division in, could have eight teams if you included Antrim, Offaly, Kerry. Do you know, you would have good competition there and good incentive to get up there with a chance of hanging on up there. I don't know. Okay, only one team is going to go down. So I would say of the lower ranked teams, I know Laois have made huge strides under Eddie. But Laois, Carlow, Westmeath, they're the three we'll be looking at probably. And only one of the three is going to go. So they're saying that's good. But I don't think there's any real threat of relegation for
the big teams.
Yeah. You know,
but I suppose part of maybe the expansion of this league up to 12 teams was the fact that a number of those big teams didn't want to be relegated, and the GAA didn't want them relegated out of it either, and the county themselves didn't want to be relegated because there would be a financial disadvantage to being in the lower division. So I think it suits the stronger teams, Anthony, to make sure that they're not relegated, I suppose. And, like, there's very few teams, would say, if you'll say, let's just take a Kilkenny or a Cork, were relegated, or a Tip, just for, in the old format, the gate receipts would significantly go down, because a team, the supporters aren't going to go down to Kerry, no disrespect to Kerry, but they won't travel to those matches. Whereas I think this format, it kind of makes sure that the top teams stay where they are.
Yeah, well, Limerick will tell you that, Mark, from their time. They even got promoted up in Innes under Donal, I think, Donal O'Grady, and they changed the format and they got left down there again, and then they couldn't get out of it.
Yes, for a number of years.
In one final against the Head, really, a bit of a shock, and they got caught down there, really.
That's right,
and
years, yeah.
They'd all tell you they had the facility to have Saturday Night Lights games in the Gaelic grounds, but they hadn't the quality of team to bring in the crowd there, and even just being part of the Munster Superstores, Co-op Superstores, with those, Larry, with doing the commentary, the crowd for the Cork game, like the crowd for the Tip game, I think it was played the 22nd of December or something like that, or 19th of December, when everybody should have been at Christmas parties and breakups, and crowd of people in the Gaelic grounds that night, you'd say, God, Limerick lost out a long time while they were down there.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the lights, the Saturday night games, the Sunday night, and look, you just look at the Premiership now at the moment, all Premiership matches 20 years ago played on a Saturday. Now you have the Friday night game, you have Saturday game, you have Sunday game, and you have the Monday night football. Like, the GAA, to me, will have to follow the same format, because there's a lot of people actually want to go and support their teams and support, and would go and watch neutral matches as well. Like, if you could have the facility where you play them over maybe 3 days, and it might be a Friday night, Saturday night, and a Sunday, that's something. If we want to prepare promoting our own sport and our sport against other sports, I suppose, Anthony, as well, like, we've got to look at that format.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I've been only thinking, like, Clare don't have that lights facility, but the world of people would pop into Limerick. You know, it's as easy for them, a lot of the hurling country in Clare,
to get to
the Gaelic grounds as it is to Cusick Park.
That's also right. That's definitely right. Be
that. Who do we think would like to win it, lads, if you're ruling out Cork Derger?
No, from Mark's point of view, you said it's 22 years since Cork won a league in the last National Hurling League, and you know, it's something, you know, we haven't had that success in between either. Like, you know, so if you're looking at, you know, I suppose historically down here, people just, it's been kind of a no-no that the National League isn't taken too seriously. And, you know, whatever happens, you know, Cork will come right if they do have a bad league. So, again, I think Mark's point, the couple of new guys coming in, the new managers will obviously, it's probably from their point of view, looking to getting the extra matches, getting to the quarterfinal, semi-final, final. For them to get to know their players more in a kind of very competitive match. You'd imagine guys like, you know, the guys like Liam Cahill, the guys like Shane O'Neill, you know, will be looking for that situation where those games will be of huge benefit to them. So if you were looking at winning it, I think you could start there. You know, I think Limerick, for some reason, you know, seem to be very, you know, they've turned things around in the context of, you know, they're taking things very seriously. You know, we played them recently in the Munster League final, and they were bringing on all stars a quarter or 20 minutes to go. So it looks like they're taking it very seriously. You know, Liam Sheedy has a batch of under 20 players coming through with all Ireland medals in his pocket.
Trying to
give them a chance as well. So, you know, I suppose every county could make a case for different scenarios. Kilkenny, as always, he's a luxury now. He'll probably give the Ballyhefels a couple of weeks off, and they'll come back. They'll miss two games. They'll miss Dublin and miss Laois. There's a break in between, so he'll give them 3 weeks off, and he'll have them back for maybe the third match. And then if they win that and win the other matches that you'd expect them to win, again, they're going to be in the league quarterfinal and semi-final. That's exactly where they want to be.
Yeah, and Manny, Mark, you know, one thing I'd look at here is, and I know on Clare, and there was motions to change it, and they're not playing Championship in April. Mm. You know, they've decided, the clubs took a vote, and there's no football, no hurling going ahead, so lads won't be troubled at all. So for me, for Brian Lohan to get on a run.
Clear run, like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I think the league final is penciled in for the 27th or 8th of March, I think. 22nd, yeah. Sorry, I have another week. So really, with not playing in until the 12th, I mean, for Clare, it makes it to me to be a no-brainer just to go all out for the league, and you have 7 weeks to prepare then
for the championship. Absolutely, and I would say that look, I'm a big believer in the league. I'll be straight up with you. I don't like giving another county an advantage over you, and you know, it's hard to believe it's 22 years since Cork won the National League. But I mean, when you know Hannity, Hoggy, Bill Cooper, no National League medal. And, like, there's only two serious medals that a player can win, an All-Ireland and a league medal. And I think, certainly it was a great medal to win in our day. And I wouldn't dismiss it at all as, oh, it's just the league. Because for fellas that will never win an All-Ireland medal, if they had a National League medal in the back pocket, I think it'll mean something for them. I suppose, Anthony, like, to me, the league should be used, you know, to blood players as much as you can. You know, we've seen the best players all along, but there are other fellas that need to get game time. And I think, you know, rather than a fella looking over his shoulder and getting the curly finger and say, oh, geez, I only got 20 minutes. And I look at Dan Dooley last year now from Bride Rovers. He played in the league match against Limerick. It was a game that Cork actually won down there. Patrick Collins, I think, played in goals. Another fellow who's had very little game time because he's had Anthony Nash in front of him. He never saw... He got a half an hour against Tip the following weekend, and they were well beaten by Tipperary. He never saw another match after, and he's gone off the pen. And I think... I don't think he's involved this year. So, and just putting the case that there are players out there that are really unknown fellas. Now, it is a benefit, obviously, if they're playing beside better-known players and more skilled players. But I think the league, from there, there's a nugget of fellas there that should be given opportunities. The good under 21 and minor, I think we all know they'll come through in their own time. The likes of the Sean Oaks, you know, the Seamus Hickeys, the Joe Deans, they were good minors. So you know they will come through. But there's a bunch of fellas there that, unless you throw them in, Chris O'Leary now, for an example, a fellow who had a very good Fitzgibbon campaign last year for Cork, Niall O'Leary. They, you know, those kind of fellas that, you know, are they good enough having come through minor 21, you know, throw them into a National League man and put them on a good player, right, a renowned player, and you'll be able to test them against them. I think that's the way I would be looking at it from a league point of view.
Yeah, say this weekend now, Michael, you'll have Waterford, Liam Cahill trying to find out and trying to get a few new lads, and there's been a couple of high-profile people gone off the panel for various reasons. Like, but he'd probably get a chance, maybe, as Mark, I think, is right, that one or two lads there that maybe wouldn't have featured. Waterford haven't had a great time the last 3-4 years, minor 21, since that winning 21 team. The college is back strong again this year, I believe, so maybe see some of them there. But, you know, up against Cork the weekend, you probably have a quality enough Cork team out, so you'll see lads at that level. I think he's right that way, that you really can't see. You can look. I might have been accused as well when I was a Clare not being too interested in winning the league, like I wanted to win a Munster. That didn't work out either, or maybe there's a correlation there I could have looked back on. But it definitely was a time where you were looking for a corner back, and you would, you know, I remember I used to have Father Harry with me, and Cork were the kingpins really when I was there, and Kilkenny were coming back. And he was a great one. He'd often say to me, I was the fella there going well. you know, I heard he's playing well, and you know, he was very good for the club last year, and I'd like to have a look at him. He's 22. And he used to say to me, would he mark Wayne Sherlock?
Yeah.
I says, I don't know, but we can have a look at him against Wayne Sherlock.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Oh, yeah, and like Liam Cahill is a good example, because I suppose next weekend is a bit of a referendum on his progress so far, even though it's only the first big match. But like, I go along with the lads, there's probably more at stake for the likes of him and Brian Lowen and Shane O'Neill, etc. But like, I know I'm based on very little, but what I saw in Limerick, particularly against Cork, like, they do strike me as a, maybe John Coyley is kind of saying, look, we wrote off last year and we were unlucky and so on, but look, you know, we're going to be at it and right at it from the very start. Like, I was very surprised with some of the lads they brought on, because the game was well and truly over, you know, heading into the third quarter, and yet they were bringing on fellas that you say, well, this fella will be fairly safe come the winter. So like, that's
I think it's a bit of their panel makeup as well, though, that the few that they're missing fairly regularly with Fitzgibbon, what's there is sort of established guys at this stage.
Oh yeah, but like, certainly in terms of attitude, like, fair enough, the new manager, you'd expect them to go all out, because they're not going to say to the lads in the dressing room, look, it doesn't really matter now today, because we're thinking of the championship straight away. But like, of the established teams, if you like, Limerick would be my dark horses to win it, because I think there might be maybe a sense of mission, like, if it wasn't for the Lions, when last year we'd be in the All-Ireland final, but we're going to show them all. And it would also, I suppose, take a bit of attention away from what's going on off the field, which could become a distraction. Do you know?
Yeah, and the more positives on the field puts all that to bed.
And we saw that against Cork, sure, the crowd were coming in over the wire, delighted.
Yeah,
in the
absolutely.
Last 10 minutes, like,
all
with the
players gave time with the kids. We were there, we saw it, yeah. So looking at the weekend, I suppose we're saying Limerick will be tipsaw just back after all, as Michael Sauter said. Larry, are you confident? You have much of a 10, Larry.
I think, I'm not saying anything untoward is going on with these league matches, but like, there must be some betting opportunities to be had if you could tell which team is going to be trying which week, you know? Like, look, you mentioned, was it the Cork match where Tip came back from their trip away with all guns blazing for about 20 minutes and blew Cork away? I mean, I talked to Sheedy after the league, and he was absolutely horrified at the idea that anyone would be pulling the handbrake for certain matches. Like, but really, realistically, like, is it? I mean, what? How can you tell? Are there signs which team is going to be trying any particular week?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have a better idea when we see lineups, I suppose.
You look at the Tipperary Limerick game. Tipperary, the All Ireland champions, they're playing at home. Automatically, I feel Liam Sheedy doesn't want to get beaten at home. Won't be the end of the world either, beaten by Limerick. They were beaten by him in the Munster final last year and came back and win the All-Ireland. So, I mean, you would be able to get over that hurdle. But being at home and being All-Ireland champions and the first league match, that does add a small little bit of spice there. And what better team to become the town than Limerick, to be honest with it. And if you're in the Tip dressing room and say, listen, lads, these guys turned us over in the Munster final last year, you know, maybe we'll do our best to try and win that. And yes, I think Limerick are probably look like they're ahead of everybody else from the pre-season. But, you know, that's a very, very attractive match. But the home venue, I think, might have a bearing on that as well.
Yeah, plus the days of the lads coming back with the stone on the arse.
Yeah, that day is gone.
A bit from it. That's gone, really.
That day is gone, really. You have to mind yourself now. Like,
you don't see them coming out of shape anymore, do you? Like, really, it's a rarity, I think, anyway. I don't know.
A lot of these guys know, you know, their lifestyle kind of dictates the whole scenario. Like, they're, you know, they're in the gym two or three times a week, like, you know what I mean? So they consciously don't allow themselves to get back in, because I think if you do that, you're going to be behind straight away. So I think they do come back now, you know, in very good shape, like, you know, to get themselves ready, because obviously it ramps up fairly quickly, because, you know, your season starts in the middle of January, and like, once it starts next Sunday, it won't stop.
Yeah, and you don't want to be out there in front of a few thousands and cameras and everything else. Leash and Wexford, Michael, on this, the other Saturday night game, you know, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Wexford off to a flyer, really, with the Walsh Cup bagged, and like, to be fair, Davey likes to win everything he's in, really, I think, you know, that's the sort of nature of him. He couldn't play a game of golf for him, but he'd want to beat you, like, you know.
Well, in fairness to him, he is instilled that kind of, the Kilkenny attitude. But you know that, like, it's always an insult to say with any team, they're hard to beat, because it kind of suggests maybe they're not as skillful. But, like, they have that attitude. And I would say that's a matter of habit, as opposed to saying, look, we'll be all right, you know, in May. As you say, he'll be shouting at him to put down a marker straight away against Leash and to show that, you know, they're at it, as they say. That's my favourite phrase now for the day, that they're at it. But they can get to that level, and they can produce the attitude, and I would say, Dave, you'd be the first fella to say that that becomes a habit, and you instill it early on, and like a league final now for them would be a good outing for him.
Yeah.
Do you know?
I suppose we've got to go back now, just only 3 or 4 years ago, where Wexford were, no disrespect to them, they weren't contenders for anything. Davy has turned the players and the county around, to be fair to him. Winning Leinster, massive. Beating Kilkenny, you've got to realise that the amount of times that Kilkenny have beaten Wexford in the last 2 decades, that is weighing heavily on a lot of their supporters. And I think it's a great opportunity for Wexford maybe to bag 2 points. But Lee should be looking at it from their perspective as well. They've had a good season last year. They've been trying to build on that. It's a home game for them. But, you know, Wexford to me, like you mentioned earlier on about the fact that the league final is the 22nd of March and the first round of the championships is May. There is that 6 or 7 weeks that if you did get to a league final, you can afford to give the lads a couple of, you know, there's probably a club championships in there to give them a break.
I'm open to contradiction now, but I think last year there was only a round or two of football played. I'm not sure.
Well, it
was
depending on what county, I suppose.
Could be wrong now, like Wexford listeners.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I think Davey will be also, and you mentioned he's a very competitive individual. So
yeah, they have momentum. Why lose it? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think same for Eddie. Like, second season syndrome too can kick in a bit there. You know, he'll want to make sure that they're very competitive. At the very least, yeah. Two new boys taking over on Sunday. Shane O'Neill and Shane O'Brien. Would like to wish Shane the best of luck as well. Good, cooler man taking over Westmeath, and I think he's assembled a fairly strong backroom staff. It looks a very tough group for them, but and that'll be a tough start in Salt Hill.
An away game, I think, for Westmeath is a very difficult game, and the fact that Division 1A in with Tip, Limerick, Galway, Waterford, and Cork. I'd say they'd be hoping that they might have been in the other division, that you'd have the likes maybe of Carlow and Leash inside there as well. So I think it's a very, very difficult game for them starting off. And, you know, Galway under a new manager, Shane O'Neill as well, they'll want to be stepping. They won the All-Ireland 2 years ago. They've become a little bit of a forgotten team, I suppose, in some respects. And remember, they were the team that lost out in the Round Robin Championship last year. In the last, we said totally, we were all watching it live, and we'll say amazing who's stuff. In, who's out. Like it actually was a fantastic finish to the Leinster Championship last year, and I'd say like the Galway fellas should be smarting from that last year and trying to get back into the a bit like Tip, where missed out a couple of years ago and came back and won the All Ireland.
Yeah, a bit of talk about the way Michal quit or whatever. You know, did he want to go? Did he want to keep going? So. Shane brave enough to put up his hand and say I want it, and you know, obviously great record in the Piercy, so be interesting, very interesting. I see the Thomas's boys were back with him for the World Cup final the weekend. David Bourke coming on as a sub, and so obviously that's a good sign for him that they're buying in straight away. They're not looking for a break. You'd expect Clare would have enough for Carlo in NS Brian Lohan's first start. Pitch never better up there. Whoever got it right with the pitch in Cusick Park has done a great job. I know we've a sexy Parky Keeve to look forward to as well. No, with none of the quagmire last year, lads. We give a lot of minutes talking about the pitch last year here on a Monday morning. But I think Clare probably hit the ground running there. I know a few experiments are expected. The David McInerney thing to go out the field, I believe, is going to happen. The big one for me is who's going to hit the freeze with
Peter
Duggan.
Peter Duggan is going away, yeah. Any insights, Dale, as to what might happen?
Few different names mentioned. David Reedy being one that I heard might take over. He hit some free rogue, so he's back as well. He's a big addition back.
Yeah. And Niall DC did quite well in the Munster League match as well.
Yeah, I think he's picked up a bit of a niggle, sure. Okay. So maybe a doubt for the weekend where he'd start sort of. But by powers of deduction, fellas are saying to me it might be David Reedy, but like everything else, like we can, you know, the stuff in the Cork setup, I can't find out anything anymore. And one of my best friends is the manager of the team. All he wants me is a different fundraisers he's me picked out to be at. I says, when am I going to New York, Brian? But anyway, look, we'll probably expect that they'll win. Jerry, you'd go into Walsh Park. It's not the revamped Walsh Park yet, but
no, not yet. I see that they've been allocated the monies for it, like, so I presume they're not going to do anything until maybe next July or August when all the Munster Championship matches are over. So, yeah, it's a tough task going out to Walsh Park. Anytime is a tough place to go. Cork, I suppose, over the years haven't had a great record there, but look, we're playing them in the Championship there as well. So, from a point of view, it's probably not a bad thing to go down to Walsh Park to play Waterford. Like again, we're I suppose they're starting off with a new manager, as you say, with you know, new ideas and some new players in there as well. So it's you know, I say we're both in kind of the same vein. we're both, I suppose, we'd like to win the match to give us 2 points, like to, you know, to, you know, to give us a good start to the league. So it'd be an interesting game. We played them in the Munster League in Dungarvan, and there was only a couple of points in it. You know, but again, it's more point of view, just the preparations are a bit challenged at the moment, like with the Fitzgibbon Cup on at the moment, like, and that's on next. The UCC are in the quarterfinal next week. CIT are playing tomorrow night. Mary I are playing Thursday night as well. So, you know, it's that's challenging when you've guys who are not able to be with you at training because they're playing with their colleges, and, you know, there's a good few of them there who'd be maybe first choice players, you know what I mean, and trying to work on your setup in different situations can be challenging.
Yeah, so whatever hotel the Cork Hurlers have booked in this weekend, have your house in order, have everything perfect for them, grub top class, and you'll get them back for the summer for the championship. That's the beauty of these trial run games.
Yeah. I suppose, Anthony, on that game, I suppose it's, you know, looking at the Waterford setup, I suppose there's been a number of high profile players that won't be involved, and they're mainly defenders. I suppose you have the likes of Noel Connors, Philip Manny, and Tadhg DeBurca, who the three of them would have been three stalwarts in the defence over the last number of years. So, you know, it's an ideal game for Cork in some respects to go to Waterford, particularly when they're going to be playing them in the championship as well, to try and put down a marker, I suppose, for the championship.
Yeah, and Michael, that in the Division 1, then that leaves us, I suppose, with what I think, you know, could be up there nearly with the game of the weekend is Nolan Park with Kilkenny and the Dubs, because, as George said, like, there's no way Brian Cody's going to ask the Ballyhale boys to tog straight away, so that's three all-star forwards out of the way, and maybe Joy Holden, and I won't speculate on who'd be brought in there, because they were very good and back-to-back club champions. But Dublin, you know, they got a great battle with Galway in the Walsh Cup semi-final, and they were also in the round robin in the Walsh Cup, so Matty Kenny would have a good chance, and I was watching the lineups. He really did experiment with positions and different players and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I remember being in Parnell Park a couple of years ago when Kilkenny just beat them in that first round robin game, controversial late goal. You can't help but thinking if they'd won that, then if they'd kicked on, where would they be now? They might be a bit further along the line. But like, as you say, you know, Kilkenny, despite everything, you know, well, whoever he picks, you know, they'll come with the attitude. But what would be worrying if you were outside Kilkenny is whether he'll turn up one or two forwards. Well, would he chance Shane Walsh and Tullerone? Maybe. Is he after buying his way in with the performance he gave against Father O'Neill's? I don't know, like, you always have the three lads to come back, and maybe Padraig Walsh will get a week off, maybe a couple of weeks off down in Tullerone to celebrate.
I'd say if you're established like Padraig Walsh, you might. But I'd say if you're Shane Walsh, I'd say if you get picked, you'll turn up.
So long as you don't give a speech in the dressing room beforehand for 20 minutes saying thanks. But yeah, look, that has all the potential actually to be the best game of the weekend, because obviously they'll be very keen on both sides to put down markers. No better manager than Brian Cody to try and put a punishment beating on a team that might trouble him later in the year. And they wouldn't spare them. I remember a day down there as Danny Sutcliffe began the end for a certain Kilkenny wing back. I think the Dublin manager nearly got assaulted after he was out in the field.
I was lucky. I was lucky. I had Dancing with the Stars top man right beside me on the day. Well, I think Vinnie Tehan did more damage than Michael Carruth. Like, good lads around me, you know, I tell you, for the ambush.
Well, I mean, even that game, no, that was a great game. And Sutcliffe was unbelievable. But it just was an insight into Kilkenny generally. Like, obviously you get caught up in a match, a league match, and it's close and you're a crowd win at the end, but their celebrations, it was like they had never won anything and it was winning the All-Ireland. They were coming in over the wire celebrating, and it was a great win, but you had to say, my God, like, you know, it's fairly serious.
It was a banana score. My brother Michael was there, and he'd be kind of tipping off to keep an eye on the Dublin Hurlers that time, and they might make a weekend of it, himself and Mara and his wife, and he said, God, you'd swear they were after winning three All-Irelands in a row. Like, but that'll tell you the mentality. You don't come into Nolan and get a hand.
I know it's a cliche that no matter where you go and you're travelling, it's not as comfortable as at home. But like, I would love management teams to speak frankly, like, about going to Nolan Park, because they're so good to deal with, actually, the stewards, the fellas minding it, etc. And yet it's such a hostile atmosphere. In some grounds, it's almost the opposite. You go in and the steward will nearly spit on you. And yet, you know, the team coming in are going to win because the county just aren't as good. So it's just that contrast. Do you know the way they bring up, like, if they've spare bananas in the Kilkenny dressing room, they'll come up and give them to the journalists, right? which obviously wins a lot of favours. And yet, quite obviously, out in the field, they just cut the head off you rather than even concede one sideline ball.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll also keep an eye on 2A. I suppose we'll be looking at Antrim, I suppose, with Darren Gleeson gone in as the full-time manager. But we'll also, I suppose, the one we'll look at there, or we won't talk about it too much, but we will keep a close eye on Offaly.
Yeah, sure,
obviously, with the Dream management gone in there, and the Dream chairman now gone in, and Mr. Dygnan as well. No. I wouldn't talk to him at a meeting there last weekend. Yeah. I said, no, you've gone to the other side. No, I'll talk to you no more.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. They'll surely have a bounce anyway.
Yeah, I actually spoke, I happened to have a reason to talk to Joe Dooley recently, and... You know, I just said, like, you know, there was, I suppose, a huge coup with Michael Dygan going in and a number of his close allies, I suppose, in different positions within the county board as well. And I think once he got in, there was a number of other people maybe left the positions they were in because they felt, look, you know, look, Michael wants to take this on and grab it by the neck. And probably, to be fair, I think he will probably do a very, very good job with Offaly as well. And then, I suppose, Michael Finlay and John Kelly from the Barra Salih manager as well, being on the ticket as well. I think that's a great lineup from an Offaly perspective.
If you were a young Offaly player, you'd have to be loving it.
I think you'd have to be saying, listen, do you know what? We've one of the best players that ever graced the fields and Michael Finlay here. And then from a club perspective, Johnny Kelly has been an excellent manager stroke coach. He was involved with Portumna as well, Anthony, for years, and very, very successful. So it looks like the dream team. And that will obviously will bring us pressures as well, because if they don't get results, and they did get a result recently in the Keogh Cup, they won by a point, a game that had led for the whole game, and then Trimble got a goal with the last bucket of the game to draw it, and then they came back and got the winner. So, you know, small little victories along the way, but that's an important game for them on Sunday. They need to win it.
Yeah, hopefully Mick Finlay will turn up for training tomorrow night. I think he was taking Tuesday off as the planner, right? Just one thing before we wrap up, George, just, you know, one of the things, said, look, some lads have been let go from panels for various reasons and that, but the guy's opting out, like, you know, certainly raised eyebrows with, I see Daniel Carney, I didn't know that till yesterday, wasn't gone back with yourselves, and even Peter Duggan, like, in the prime of his, you know, really flying at All-Star 2 years ago, seemed to have solved the year out, is now, or some fellas just calling it a bit earlier, it's a loss to us, like, these quality guys. I know in Clare, everyone is saying, how are we going to replace Peter Duggan?
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's, you know, it's the game that's losing out, unfortunately. The three players we just spoke about there, like, you know what I mean, have all graced hurling, you know, at the top level, and they've been brilliant players, you know. But I suppose it's the commitment, Dillo, that's required nowadays, that people are just saying, you know, will they put their life on hold all the time? And the likes of Peter Duggan hidden away for 12 months, you know, he can always come back in, and he'll be more than welcome, and he'll be looking for him to come back in, like, you know. Danny Carney probably is probably at the other end of it, and that he's, you know, his age profile, he's been around, he's served Cork absolutely brilliantly for the last 8 or 9 years, and just a job opportunity in Dublin came his way. That was going to mean he was going to be spending quite a bit of time in Dublin. So again, you know, maybe at some stage in the future, if you're the guys are so well conditioned now that age is not a number anymore, that they can come back in if they really wanted it. But just goes to show the commitment is huge at the moment. And you know, I was very sorry to see Philip Manning go. He's, you know, I was involved with Philip at UCC and also with Belly Gunner, and a top class player, like, you know what I mean. But you know, for him to say that, you know, that the enjoyment was gone out of it, you know, that it's just, he was commuting up and down from Waterford to Dublin, which is tough going, you know, and you know, 3 or 4 times a week, like, you know what I mean. So that's the pity, but I suppose, you know, it's the evolution of it. It has happened in the past, and people come in, and it gives the opportunity for someone else to put their hand up to stake that jersey.
Mark, did you ever think of taking a year out there?
No,
I didn't anyway.
Certainly not. I
mean, wouldn't have been welcome back after the year.
Or maybe you were waiting at the end of the year to see if the new manager were going to shaft you or not. Or they were getting a phone call to come back training. But it's a different era, Anthony. There's no point in saying otherwise. The player, to me, that's there now to when we played it 20, 25 years ago, is a way different. The mentality is a way different. And I sense this at club over the last 5 or 6 years, that it has started with the club game, where the guys are going away. And I think particularly it's actually started with colleges, the J1 visas, where that was the first lead in for me maybe 15 years ago. You saw, was that non-J people going on J1 visas. And all of a sudden, with a player going away, one from this club, and next of all, this spread to the other clubs in the local area. And now it is kind of the norm that if you're going to a college, we'll go for 3 months during the summer. Now, county boards have opened the door as well, because they've shut down their club season during the summer, which has allowed a player to actually say, well, listen, I'm missing nothing. I'm training from January to, we'll say, April or May. There's no matches June, July or August, and I'll be back in September to finish off the club championship. So I think we've created a bit of that vacuum as well. But as a player, I can only speak for myself. Did it cost me mine to go away for a year or take a year out? Absolutely not. I would miss it too much to actually take a year out.
It's interesting. I was talking to a man in the club not far from where Mark is based, and he was saying their issue is that you have a fella who's 21, 22, whatever, he's finishing college, and he realises that he's going to have to get a job, etc. So he wants to take the year out to go to Australia. And as he said, compared to long ago, his fella's on WhatsApp and Instagram, etc., saying, hey, we're out here in Sydney, and there's a bedroom here if you want to come out, and there's no hassle. And he said, we are now nearly budgeting that you lose them for a year between 21 and 25, but then they'll come back again. Yeah. So it's funny. Like, I think sometimes they're willing to kind of forego the J1, but nearly if they do that, then they feel they're entitled to a year off then before they start working. It's just a complete different mentality to long ago. Do you know what I mean? That you wouldn't think in those terms.
Yeah, that is you've just hit it in there. You wouldn't think in those terms. Whereas now it is the norm. And I'd have to say the parents are agreeing with their children as well and say, listen, Jenny, going away. Sure, Mary down the road sent her two kids the year before, going away for a year, kind of, you know.
Yeah, we live in the era where we look at Twitter and there's the San Francisco Sevens is on, and even the Middle East, you know, this Abu Dhabi 11 aside.
It isn't a remote thing. I went down my J1 and I had to write a letter to a cousin of mine to ask him would I stay with him. And sure, nowadays you just turn on your phone and you can text a fella who's in San Francisco or Australia, say, look, I'm coming out next week, will you put me up? So that's very hard for these guys to resist, I presume.
It was some last to the Glen in 73. on that note, folks.
The decline dates from the
Knicks footballs.
On that note, folks, we thank Michael, Gerard, Larry and Mark. And I hope anyone, you know, really starts, I suppose, now the club was huge as well, but we're hoping to get that back to the 1 year as we established early in the show. But we really hope everybody enjoys the action the weekend. A few mouthwatering clashes out there. And it is the beginning of our secondary competition. And as a great regular in Murty Brown's, Mick Shea, great character, says to me when I often mention about Henry Shefflin and his 10 All-Irelands and Tommy Walsh and Jackie with their nines and... he'd say, Mr. John Dial has 11 leagues. Beat that. So enjoy the affair. And remember, folks, as always, you can listen to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, or irishexaminer.com/podcast. And don't forget to leave us an old little review or a comment. You can tell us where we can improve or what we're doing okay. Cheers.